So, I mean, imagine a 30-meter-long freight train just rolling down the highway.
Right, which sounds terrifying.
It does. But now imagine being told that this massive vehicle actually does like way less damage to the asphalt than a standard delivery truck.
Yeah, it completely defies common sense, right?
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive, where we're unpacking the Western Cape's performance-based standards policy. Basically, PBS for these things called smart trucks.
It's a fascinating topic. We're really looking at how replacing rigid, strict size limits with dynamic performance-based rules is just revolutionizing road freight.
And well, how local authorities are somehow navigating this crazy national bureaucratic limbo to actually make it happen for you on your local roads.
Right, because traditional trucking relies heavily on prescriptive limits, like very strict maximums for mass and length.
Yeah, you can only be this long and this heavy.
Exactly. But PBS fundamentally flips that entire model. It stops asking, how big is this truck? And instead it asks, how does this truck actually behave?
I mean, it's kind of like the difference between a one-size-fits-all t-shirt and a custom-tailored suit, right? It's engineered for specific routes.
That's a great way to look at it. They're testing how the truck performs under stress. So, measuring its high-speed stability, or maybe how far the tail swings out on a really sharp turn.
Or its startability on a steep grade, which is crucial. But mechanically, I just keep coming back to the road damage. How does a 30-meter vehicle not just completely obliterate the road surface?
Well, instead of just capping total weight, engineers are measuring actual road wear. They calculate this thing called the load equivalency factor.
Okay, the LEF.
Yeah. Think of it like the difference between wearing stilettos versus snowshoes.
Oh, I see. So a lighter person in stilettos concentrates all that force and like dents a wooden floor.
Exactly. But a heavier person in snowshoes leaves absolutely no mark because the weight distributes across a much larger surface area.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. By requiring a load equivalency factor of 0.2 or less per ton of payload, these trucks spread their massive weight across these highly specialized axle configurations, so they protect the asphalt while hauling significantly more cargo.
Okay, so if these vehicles are carrying more freight while actually saving the asphalt, you would expect to see them literally everywhere.
You think so, yeah.
But looking at the numbers here, out of the 2,359 PBS vehicles operating in South Africa, a mere six are currently driving in the Western Cape. So what is the bottleneck?
Well, it's mostly national transport ministers sending completely conflicting signals over the years. I mean, they've issued letters suspending the national program and
I
then,
listen to it.
yeah, and then retracted them later. It just leaves the regulatory future of smart trucks entirely up in the air nationally.
But wait, I'm confused on the legality here. Just impartially speaking, if the national government is pausing approvals, how is the province legally justifying issuing new permits, like without breaking the law?
Well, the province is essentially exploiting a specific legal loophole. You see, national law restricts the dimensions of a vehicle as one complete unified entity.
Okay.
But the Western Cape recognized that the individual components of a smart truck, like the tractor and the trailers on their own, they actually meet the legal specifications of the Road Traffic Act.
Ah, so because the pieces comply individually, even if the combined length doesn't, the province bypasses the national gridlock.
Exactly. They independently issue an abnormal vehicle permit for the setup, which keeps their regional economy moving.
Right. But because the province is absorbing all this responsibility for these massive vehicles, they demand like hyper strict operational compliance.
Oh, absolutely. Operators need a Road Transport Management System certification for a full 6 months before they can even apply.
Wow. And the drivers are heavily vetted too, right?
Yeah, drivers have to be between 25 and 60 years old with 5 years of traceable heavy vehicle experience. Plus, they undergo severe health, fatigue, and drug monitoring.
And the trucks themselves are actually capped at 80 kilometers per hour, right? Tracked constantly via live telematics.
Yep, they watch them like a hawk.
So if a smart truck is caught gross overloading, the permit is canceled instantly, and the driver can literally be arrested on the spot.
It is definitely not a slap on the wrist culture.
For sure. So for you listening, how do you actually spot one of these highly monitored beasts out on the highway?
You want to look for amber strobe lights on the roof and these specialized abnormal load boards mounted on the front and back.
And you'll also probably notice a massive gap between them, right?
Yes, a mandatory 100-meter following distance between consecutive smart trucks. They are explicitly banned from convoying.
Makes sense. So smart engineering paired with zero tolerance oversight is actively creating a safer, highly efficient freight network, basically despite the regulatory hurdles.
Yeah, by moving past static limits and rigorously testing real-time performance, the whole transport ecosystem is just vastly more productive.
Which leaves you with a final thought to mull over. If technology allows us to dynamically regulate 30-meter-long road trains based on real-time performance and route geometry, could this performance-based approach eventually replace static traffic laws for our everyday passenger cars?
That's a wild thought.
Right. Maybe one day the static tape measure gets thrown out for everyone,